You know, the airlines, they make you used to, I think they've increased it to a little bit now, but when I was flying for the airlines, when you got to be 60 years old, they retired you. They would not let you fly in a cockpit of a commercial airliner after you passed the age of 60. You're ancient. Isn't that something? Oh, but here Noah, he's 500 years old, got married and had three sons. His wife was nearly 600. She's just a spring chicken. What do we think today when we think about this? Somebody says, well, how old is she? Oh, 120. You say, 120? Yeah, and her husband, her new husband, they just got married. They're going to have some kids now. Yeah, sure. We can't even dream that, can we? I mean, you ask somebody today that's 80 years old, well, how you doing today, sir? Well, I'm 80 years old, and I'm lucky to be here. I'm having trouble getting around, and I guess I'll be worse tomorrow than I am today. You ever hear people talk like that? Sure. And they'll have a clue that what you say with your mouth, you believe with your heart, you're going to have it. If you believe the word, just like I took we were going to take John flying Monday, which we did, and while we were out, the compass on my airplane didn't work. So when Dave and I got back, we took it out, and I took it to an instrument shop. When I walked in the instrument shop, I walked in there, and one of the ladies sitting behind the desk said, good morning, sir. How are you doing? I said, young lady, I'm absolutely magnificently wonderful, but I'm rapidly improving. They all stopped and looked and said, wow, what a statement. I said, by the way, my question to y'all, is anybody in here know Jesus? And they all knew Jesus, and they wasn't ashamed of him. I thought, praise the Lord. And isn't it amazing how that we don't believe what the Word says? How many of us, stop and think, back, how many of us really consider it all joy when we go through various trials and tests?
I'm getting better.
You're getting better. I'm praise the Lord. Well, without trials and tests, you can't ever learn to have endurance. You know, in other words, if you're not worshiping and praising God when you have the trials and tests, you're the kind of guy or kind of woman that goes out here and you walk from here to the mailbox and back once a day for a week, and then you say, well, I wonder if I can run that 12-mile run Saturday. You think you're going to make it, Rosemary? No, you don't think so. I don't think so. I know I couldn't make it. I mean, Tim, he made it. No problem. But let me tell you, I couldn't have run that 12-mile run with him. I couldn't have walked that 12-mile run with him that morning because my confession is wrong. But see, I am pretty tough. I can do some things, but I know I'm not in training to run a 12-mile run. Now, could I do it?
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, the other day, I guess it was last year, Tim come home and he was intimidated. He had went to Dallas and run one of these 12-mile or 15-mile runs or whatever it was. He said, Dad, you ain't going to believe what happened to me. I said, what's that? He said, I trained and I worked out and everything. And he said, I run that 15-mile run. And said, there was two men that came in right in front of me that wasn't breathing near as hard as I was. And when I talked to them, both of them were over 65 years of age. He said, Dad, them guys stay in training. I said, yeah. I said, just because you're 65 don't mean you can't do great things. But that intimidated a young 30-year-old young man. Would a 65-year-old outrun him on a 15-mile run? But I'll tell you what. How many times do you think those guys run? You reckon they run every day? Every day. You run every day to run a 15-mile run and come in ahead of a 30-year-old. I guarantee you. You don't sit around and watch TV and drink soda pop or beer. Guarantee you don't. When Adam's sin entered the entire human race, Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. So we're all guilty. 13 and 14. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. And though there was no law to break, since it had not yet been given, they all died anyway, even though they did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. What a contrast between Adam and Christ who was yet to come. Verse 15 and 16. And what a difference between our sin and God's generous gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But we have the free gift of being accepted by God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Now that if you have waited till you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years old to get saved, I wonder how many sins you have under your belt. Too many to number. And you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to the Father in the name of Jesus and ask Him to forgive you, although you've committed, maybe been a murder, maybe you've been a drunkard, maybe you've been a drug addict, maybe you've been an adulterer, a fornicator, maybe you've been a murderer, you've done everything. Or maybe you haven't done all those things. Maybe you've just been a person that appears to be a pretty good person. But still, the person that appears to be a pretty good person, which one of the two of you is the worst sinner in God's sight? Both of them is exactly the same. It makes no difference if this guy over here was that murderer and drunkard and everything else, and here you are just a good man, but you don't know Jesus, you are just as guilty before God as this man is over here. You might think you're okay. A lot of these guys over here think they're going to go to heaven, but they ain't going. They ain't going to make it. This guy over here, he knows he ain't going to heaven. I've talked to a lot of them. But when either one of them come to Jesus through the Father and ask Him to forgive them, how many of them does He forgive? Now that's beyond my ability to comprehend. That's grace, right, Tom? That's mercy and grace. He forgives this guy over here. He's done everything in the world wrong. Everything wrong. This guy over here just done what we look at, maybe very little wrong. But he's just as guilty. And he'll go to hell just like this one over here will. But when either one of them or both of them come to Jesus, they both get saved and cleaned and washed up. Now then, let's look at the next verse. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I want you to let that soak in on you just a little bit. When you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how many of you felt like when you got saved, for the first 10 years after you got saved, you, and I'll ask everybody to hold up their hand that believes this. Now, I ain't going to be able to hold up my hand, but I'll ask you if you believe this to hold up your hand. That the first 10 years after you got saved, you lived a completely triumphant life in Christ Jesus. I didn't. I guess none of you did either. Why did I not live a triumphant life? That's it. I had no knowledge of what was in the Word. I got just enough knowledge to be saved. That's all I knew. And you know, it's unfortunate that's where most Christians stay their whole life. I stayed there the first 30 years of my life. I didn't ever advance beyond this. As children of God, this says here that this sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. Well, let me tell you, it did that to me. You know, sin ruled over me. And death ruled over me. I was a dead man spiritually. I was not living in the Spirit. It says, death to rule over us, but all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Technically speaking, according to the Word of God, if you're a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian, you should be living a triumphant life over sin and death. Is that what he said? I mean, sin comes to you. Since you're sitting right here on the front row, you make a good subject. Here I am, this gross critter. I'm called sin. I come up and say, Terry, you know, why don't you just get crossways with your husband? You know, he said something yesterday that you really didn't like. Why don't you just get him for that? Now then, as a person that don't know the Word, if you don't know the Word, what are you liable to listen to?
That.
Yeah. Because that's a demon of hell coming to talk to you. Just get him. But as an obedient, triumphant daughter of the King, when this beast comes and tells you just to get him, what are you going to tell him?
Get out of it. Please.
Amen. I'm not listening to that sin no more. I ain't listening to you, devil of hell, no more. I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. and the king told me to submit to my husband. I'm going to love him. I don't care what you say, and I don't care what he does to me. I'm going to love him because Jesus told me I have that power living in me now. I'm living a triumphant life over sin and death.
Amen, and it works.
And it works. Guarantee it works. But most Christians don't ever learn that in their whole life. It took me almost a lifetime to learn these things. I had to read this over and over and over in the Word. And so whenever I now see that man sitting right back there yesterday, he said, I came here. He held up his hand and said, I got a question. I said, yes. He said, I came here to learn what I could because I have a 28-year-old lady friend that has terminal cancer and she's dying. You heard her. You heard him say that, didn't you? 28. And of course, when you've learned what I've learned, my first question is she a Christian? Well, she says she is. Does she go to church? Not much. Maybe very rarely do he or her, either one, ever darken the door of a church. If you're a Christian, God commands you to go to church all the time, every week. That's not if you want to. If you're a born-again Christian, the best place you ought to want to be is somewhere in God's house on a regular basis, either listening to His Word, talking His Word, teaching His Word, or being an example of His Word before those that you're around. That should be your desire to be in church. When you ask somebody, you want to go to church? Well, I got to go to the races this week. I ain't got time to go to church. Oh, I got to go to see the Dallas Cowboys this afternoon, and I can't possibly go to church and go to see that. No. Oh, in fact, I ain't going to go see them. It costs too much money, but I'm going to watch them on TV. So if I come to church, I know you ain't going to let me out in time, so I'm going to just stay home. I ain't coming. Do we know any Christians like that? God told us what to do and what should be our desire, and our desire should be to serve the King of the universe.
Yes,
walk in obedience to His Word. Do what He says. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. Okay, that sin is still ruling over a lot of the church. Yeah, it's ruling over you. It ruled over me for years and years and years of my life. And finally, years ago, I made a tape.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Live a Triumphant Life, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.